You're listening to the Sporting Witness podcast from the BBC World Service. We're going back to a moment that revolutionised disability sport. The invention of the first carbon graphite prosthetic running leg in 1984. The curved designs now known as blades are commonplace in elite and amateur disability sport. In 2020, Rebecca Kesby spoke to the man behind the invention.
There's something about when you lose a body part. It's different from any other experience because it's gone. It's just gone. You take a bath, you look down, there's a space where your left foot was. That was the hardest part, knowing that it was irreversible. It's a hard feeling to describe, but every amputee has gone through this.
This is Van Phillips. In the mid-1970s, he was a sporty young student in Arizona, hoping to build a career in the media. But the tragic events of one water skiing trip would change his life path.
I had my accident in the spring of 1976, and I was 21. Winter had just broke, and it was now time for spring water skiing.
As he was skiing behind a friend's boat, a fire broke out on board and abruptly stopped the engine. As another boat swerved to avoid the smoke, its driver didn't see Van, who'd been left sitting low in the water behind the stricken vessel.
Our boat started smoking. Smoke was coming from the engine, which was kind of in the middle of the boat. I had just taken a big cut to the left, and the boat quit. And so I'm sitting there in the water going, oh, darn. And so then all of a sudden over my right shoulder, I turn around, and another boat came right at me, and the boat just ran right over. And so the odds are that my ankle's that wide, that's what it hit, the propeller. When I came to the surface, I screamed for help, and I already looked over my shoulder and saw basically that my foot was gone. It was just a very dark moment. Hadn't I had a wetsuit on, I would have bled out. There's just no way. Major arteries were cut. But my knee was bent, the wetsuit was tight, and it just stopped blood flow.
Van's long road to recovery, physically and emotionally, was just beginning. Like many amputees, he suffered a lot of pain in those early days.
They put a cast on your stump, and then on the bottom was a pink rubber foot. And so I'm sitting there looking at my pink foot, and you just feel like your life is gone. And they're telling you to walk, you know, with your crutches and kind of get on your feet again. I remember stepping on a pebble and losing my balance with my crutches and thinking to myself, I will never learn how to walk again.
You told me before, Van, that this left you feeling pretty depressed.
You see yourself spiraling down, and then you realize, I got to pull myself up. And then you start taking bigger breaths, doing what it takes, and accepting little bit by little, you know, what your fate has done.
The prosthetic leg Van was given was probably one of the better ones available at the time. But as an active young man, used to playing sports and running, he found it clumsy, rigid, and even several years after his accident, at times excruciatingly painful. Unwilling to accept that this was as good as it got, he started thinking of ways to improve it.
You know, just several years prior, they had just put man on the moon. And I go, what I'm wearing as a prosthetic device, this block of wood encased with just rubber, is not it. This is not right. So I didn't know what to do, where to go, how to start on this, but I just knew, you know, intuitively there was a better way.
Van focused on trying to get more flexibility in the artificial foot, hoping that it would improve his mobility and add a bit more bounce.
You know those little insoles that you put inside your shoe? Well, that was my first concept. Let's build one of those out of something that will spring. Those early ones were actually, they weren't too bad. I had a little block of foam on the toe and the heel. But then I got really blessed. I met a man called Dale Abliscolf. Dale was one of the world's leading aerospace graphite engineers.
Dale suggested that the leg, as well as the foot, needed to be bendable or springy. It was a breakthrough moment.
I met Dale. That night, we drew up the drawing of what the leg was to look like. And within 2, maybe 3 weeks, I built a leg and I attached it to my socket. 3 weeks to the day that I met Dale, I ran down his condominium hallway. He was, there were two divorced guys and they had, you know, roommates in the condominium in downtown. And I ran up and down his carpeted hallway. I mean, fast. So that was freedom. That was real inner freedom.
Dale and Van's original design replaced the traditional section of the artificial leg connecting the stump with the foot with a carbon graphite flexible curve. Over the next couple of years, the pair developed the idea.
I probably built 50, maybe 60 more legs, different types, different arrangements, broke them, fell down, till we finally launched our first foot.
But could they design a leg that allowed para-athletes to run almost as fast as elite able-bodied athletes? They looked to nature's fastest animal for their inspiration.
The cheetah's leg is basically, you know, it attaches at the hip and it goes backward. Well, the back of that continuous C-shaping looking design is a massive tendon that's connected to massive muscles. So when the cheetah is running 65 miles, 70 miles an hour and stretching them like a big taut rubber band, what that rubber band wants to do is go back to its normal residual shape, and it does that in terms of releasing that energy. So if you look at the graphite composite structure, it's millions of tiny little hair-like fibers, and those fibers stretch just like our tendons do. And so that energy can be stored in those fibers. And that's how we came up with the C-shaped cheetah foot.
By the early 90s, Van and Dale had lost the conventional foot element completely from their designs. The running prosthetics now had just a toe and no heel, and were curved and blade-like. They looked nothing like a human leg, yet ironically, probably performed more like it. Van had been their test athlete, but how would the new blades perform in proper competitive racing? They needed to experiment, but it wasn't easy to persuade athletes to try them. Eventually, they found Amy Mullins, now a famous actor and model, but then a student at Georgetown University, a competitive athlete, and a double amputee.
She was the first amputee who ran without a heel, which means she was literally running on her toes. None of the other guys had done it. Courageous.
Van, who'd been wearing versions of the design for years, helped teach Amy Mullins how to use them. In her case, on both legs.
It's like a kid riding a bicycle. Dad, let go, I think I got it. And then you let go and they're just pet and they go on and they go on. Amy was like that. She's running alongside me and I go, go for it, Amy. And then she just puts her tension into one foot after the other and she starts running. So yeah, I was really proud.
The carbon graphite C-shaped design began a whole new industry in high-performing prosthetics, transforming the world of para sports. But in recent years, Van has turned his attention to other amputees.
In the United States, the majority of amputees, they're diabetics. But the majority of amputees worldwide have stepped on a landmine or lost their leg in some explosion in war. And they have to go to work. You know, they're laborers, they're planting fields, they're doing things on their feet, construction, whatever. So we've come up with a design that has increased function, decreased weight, and increased strength.
Van hopes his team's new design will improve the comfort and mobility of thousands of people.
You know, when we think about designing legs for Asia, a lot of people work in rice paddies. You can't wear a standard foot in water. They rot. If you're talking about amputees in Afghanistan or Iraq, they're on rocky hillsides going up and down mountains. The foot has to be able to endure all kinds of different climates. And when I think of all the amputees in the world and what they've had to suffer, that I can actually share that and bring a lot of joy back to people's lives. There was never a greater joy than that for me.
Van Phillips was speaking to Rebecca Kesby in 2020 for the Sporting Witness podcast from the BBC World Service. And if you like this episode, please share it with your friends and family.
From the brilliant and bizarre.
It was really surreal. It was a surreal kind of atmosphere there. You couldn't really see anybody.
To the shocking and unexpected.
I'm just wondering, what are we going to do now? This was really my worst fear. He found 100% horse meat that was labelled as beef.
Witness the stories that have shaped our world. Told by the people who were there.
When he went to the factory, the poodle went in front of him. So the workers only knew, oh, the boss is here.
Many people had many things to lose by our victory. The future was not so bright.
Witness history.
We had a designer. He brought in a fully storyboarded idea about how the Queen would arrive by jumping out of a helicopter. And we all said, that's brilliant, but it's never going to happen.
Witness history at bbcworldservice.com/witnesshistory or wherever you get your podcasts.